To be the best, you need to play with the best. You might not have your own personal high-level circle of women yet, but you can hang with us on the Female Millionaire Show. I'm Midori Verity, serial entrepreneur for over 25 years, and I interview badass female founders and cut through to what you really need to know. So in 20 minutes, you have what can take years to learn. If you're wanting to play bigger, come play with us. Join the Female Entrepreneur Revolution today. Cheers. We are here with Stephanie Muffson from The Parade Guys. You are going to love hearing her story. She is an artist. She went to art school. She was supposed to be a starving artist, but she broke out of that. We're going to talk about how she did that and why she calls her company, even though it's female owned, The Parade Guys. So let's start there, Stephanie. What is up with the name?
People ask me all the time. We're woman owned. I have half of my staff is female. And the truth is, honestly, I know that SEO, people are going to Google The Parade Guys. They're going to see The Parade Guys. There's going to be an inherent confidence. My joke is that I always say I would call us the Parady Ladies, but I just don't think we would get nearly as many calls off the bat. And it really is just working within, once I get them on the phone, I know I can talk to them with the confidence. I know I can talk to them with the know-how, and I win over my clients almost immediately. But I do know that before they've put a face to the name and they've heard what I have to say, that inherent sexism is going to kick in, and I'm just trying to make that work for me instead of against me.
So smart. So smart. Sometimes we get caught up in our head of what should be and then what really works. And like you said, you just got to kind of play the game and get that door open and then go from there. So such a smart business tactic. Okay, but tell people what you do, because I had no idea that this was a thing and I'm intrigued. So tell us what you do.
I own the only parade float company in Northern California. It's a super niche business that actually there's only a few across the country that even do what we do. And we've also, over the last 5 or 6 years, been expanding into decor for big corporate spaces. We do a lot of private events. We do fabrication for we just recently finished up a miniature golf course. So we're basically doing anything that's like fun and exciting and about spectacle. We do it.
Okay. So let's talk about this. We were talking about this before we hit record about what's expected as an artist. Like when you're in going through art school, and the reason why this stood out to me is I had the same conversation yesterday with another artist, and you both said exactly the same thing of expectations as far as income and wealth. So let's chat about that a little bit. What were the expectations?
Yeah, I mean, when I said I wanted to go to art school, everyone in my family was like, you're going to starve. What are you going to do? There's no career here. This makes no sense. Then you go to art school. Even your professors will tell you, you should have no expectation of ever making it. Like most of you are going to suffer and struggle.
Gosh, right? Okay. But then when did you decide, that doesn't sound so attractive? I'm going to change that narrative.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been kind of a fighter. You know, I've always been somebody who's like, if I've got my mind set on it, this is what I'm going to do. And I knew that I loved art. I knew I loved creativity. I knew it was what I'm good at. And so I went, I'll figure it out. And in my early 20s, I definitely did the suffering and struggling thing. I had my moments of, you know, the art show that nobody comes to, you put all your heart into this artwork and then none of it sells or nobody cares. And like, yeah, you definitely experience that, like, not only like the financial poverty that comes with it, but also that like emotional poverty. And somewhere around my late 20s, I went, this is horrible. This is unsustainable. I still love making. I still love creating, but it's time for me to create a life for myself that's going to be comfortable and satisfying and allows me to grow into an age where I can, you know, age comfortably. So I started making different choices.
Okay. So I want to break that down a little bit because I think there are so many important keys of what you're talking about. So you knew what your passion was. You knew what you loved to do, right? But then you figured out, okay, well, this is what lights me up. Where's the money? Where's the money? And you found where people are, you know, I'm guessing to pay for someone to design a float for you is extremely expensive and probably lucrative. And you have to have the you have to have capital to buy the equipment to, in order to be able to fabricate something as amazing as a float or the miniature golf. So, you know, how did you decide I'm going into the float company?
Well, so people have always commented that I'm really good at connecting dots, that I see connections. So first of all, I have to say, I did not start the company I own now. I've expanded it and I've changed it. It was owned by one man, and he was the float builder for the area. And his business model was no employees, no staff, and you hire contractors as needed. I met him. I was an independent contractor. So I was already in my independent contractor hustle. I was doing commissioned artwork. I was painting on surfboards. I was producing events. I was curating art shows. So I was already in the entrepreneurial mindset of I'm going to be self-employed. I don't want a boss. And so I was just taking every contract job I could to make ends meet. And essentially, I ended up learning from this man how to build parade floats. And at some point he said, I'm going to retire. And we worked out a deal. I essentially worked for a few years paying him off. So I was able to buy his assets. And then I changed the name of the company and have gone from a company that had zero employees to about 10 to 20, depending on the season. And we've also, as I mentioned, expanded into a variety of other offerings beyond parades.
There's a number of things that you're doing so well. One, you found a company that was already had contracts, right? And I can't tell you how much easier it is to find a company that already has success versus just starting from scratch. It is so smart. But then on top of that, you brought in this whole nother vision of, you know what, we can scale this baby. And you changed the name. You just kind of did a refresh, but you had a proven concept. And that is critical. What else did you do? And then you brought in people that you love. How great is that? You told me before we hit record, the people I work with are my friends and your husband. And you just created this business that is beautiful. And not only that, you have gone into, because parades are seasonal, right? You can't do a parade in the winter. Or, well, I guess they do, huh? Macy's Day Parade. Yeah. So let me retract that. But you also have used the tools that you have to do a bunch of other things to bring in other revenue streams. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant on all these different levels. So let's talk about some of the challenges that you have had as you've built this out.
I mean, you mentioned imposter syndrome at some point, certainly in my early days. And then, of course, I'm a woman in an industry that is traditionally very male dominated, as I kind of talked about. People less so now. I'm really happy to say, like, in the 15 years that I've been in this industry, I'm seeing more and more women coming in, and I'm so delighted by that. And I'm seeing more women in leadership roles in other companies that are also doing, like, large scale work, which is so great to see. When I started, like, 15 years ago, if I hired a man, the man working for me did not take me seriously. If I was, you know, working for a male client, the male client wouldn't take me seriously. And it took years and years of just proving my knowledge, proving my worth, proving that not only do I know how to do this, but I'm really good at it. And I know how to build a team of other people who are really capable, and their gender doesn't matter either. And I think at this point, I just carry myself with enough confidence that I don't feel like I'm experiencing that 9 times out of 10. It still creeps up from time to time, mostly the sexism part of this. Yeah. But I think at some point you carry yourself with enough confidence that starts to fall away a little bit.
I agree. I felt that in my career too. You know, I've been an entrepreneur for forever, for, you know, over 25 years. And I was talking to one of my clients yesterday. And, you know, he was saying how, you know, he's just leaving working in corporate to launching his own business. And he's like, you know, when I go and I talk to these people, I feel like everyone else is so much more experienced than me. And maybe I don't belong in the room. I'm like, oh gosh, I remember that. I remember walking in a room, and even though I already had successful businesses, feeling like I was looking up to everyone else. Can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? Like that kind of mentality. And I felt like they were patting me on the head going, it's going to be okay. We'll help you. We'll pull you along. And I was demeaning my worth. Mm-hmm. And what it took, this probably has to do with being a woman too, is doing it for so long, having so many successes, And now, like carrying, I think it's the way that we carry ourselves, right? It's like, don't even think that you're going to talk down to me because I know my shit.
Absolutely.
I know my shit. And yeah, there's a switch that happens, but it has to happen internally first.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's something wonderful about being a woman in your 40s, first of all. Just, I think that there's something that switches where you're like, I've been around a while and now there's these like new kids coming up and I like you sort of just change your role in the room, which is great. And then of course, all the years of experience and the successes and the failures. And like, you just, you build up this like thick skin and you're like, okay.
I see what's going on and let me take back this control right now.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree with you. It's nice as you get older, especially as a businesswoman, right? It just, there's a lot that, I hate the word empower, but I think like there's this internal powerful, like kind of in a positive way. Like we just own it. And we just carry ourselves differently and it feels good.
Feels great.
Right?
Yeah, it does. It feels great.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me what your goals are with your business in the next, I don't know if you set goals like that, but do you set goals? Do you know where you want to be in the next 12 months or so?
I don't set them by year. I have, I guess, maybe a broader range. I'm looking at the next 5 to 10 years. And yeah, I'm looking at expanding our business. I mean, I want to maintain everything that we do. I've built up this incredible team of people. And one of my goals is simply to maintain what we're already doing, you know, building world-class parade floats, doing the decor, doing artwork and public art activations and all the things that we already do. Maintain that, keep my team working. I also am interested in, as I mentioned, I just finished my master's degree in industrial design, and I've started to become very interested in toys and other ways of engaging people playfully. This is sort of my passion, like engaging people to have a good time together and creating connection through like powerful, playful moments is sort of my, that's my calling. Yeah. So yeah, I've become really interested in doing that on maybe a more intimate, small scale and branching out my business into more consumer products.
Oh my gosh, so cool. If you had to give someone one piece of advice to help them as they're building out their businesses, regardless of size, what would be that one piece of advice?
It's all about the people who you trust, who you spend time with, who you are building relationships with and collaborating with. If you're choosing the wrong people, you're going to go downhill real fast.
Yep. And so when you attract those people, how do you keep them?
Kindness. Like it's so simple.
Be kind? What? That thing. Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like we all make mistakes. Like sometimes I'm an asshole, but like, I think it's really important to be like, I'm so sorry. Like, I love you. I value your talent. I value what we have. And like, I'm sorry if I used my words badly in that moment and like being humble enough with the people who deserve it from you to just be like, hey, like I care about this. Let's work together. And I feel like over time, those relationships become so strong that like, you can kind of like have your good days and your bad days and you know each other so well that you can work together, even if you're like, you can recognize like, oh, you're in a bad mood. And
I'm just going to stay over here today.
Yeah. Or even like, we're both in a bad mood, but we like get it. And we're just going to keep working and we're going to be productive and we're going to like stay focused and we're going to like ignore the fact that we're both like not in our best places today.
I love that. Kindness, humility, and respect is really what I see. So where can people find out more about you? If they happen to be looking for a float or something else that's creative, I think, you know, my brain is going to all these places of all the different things that you can create. Especially if you're in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, that's where Stephanie and her company is. So where do they go?
We're at theparadeguys.com. And of course, I'm, you know, Google my name, Stephanie Muffson, a million things will come up. But yeah, if you're looking specifically for our services, theparadeguys.com.
There you go. Go check her out. Get inspired. Put on your creativity hat. And thank you so much for being here with us, Stephanie.
So much for having me. It was so nice to meet you.
You as well.